Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 154 of the NLSC podcast. I'm your host, Andrew. I'm joined by my co-host, Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey, everyone.
And here we are, Ben. The 2016 regular season is at an end.
Yes, and my voice is not sounding all impressed because of it's the end of the season. I've been crying that it's over, but I've been sick.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I just thought I'd say that I'm not too well this week. But yeah, it is a shame to see this season end. It just went by so damn quick.
Well, obviously, it's a shame for me because my team's out now.
Yes.
They were eliminated a couple of games before the end. But, well, if nothing else, the Bulls did finish a game above 500, and they didn't lose to the 76ers on the last day of the season. So, some pride salvaged, maybe? Like, it could have been worse. Like, it's terrible and disappointing, but it could have been worse.
But given that, you know, Derrick Rose didn't miss an entire season, you know, it's a pretty large shame that they couldn't make the playoffs.
It is, but, you know, he actually said at the last game this week, and I saw it, did not play, rest. What's he resting for? Has he got something important going on? Oh, we'll save it for the NBA discussion later on, but yes, the 2016 regular season is at an end. You're feeling a little bit under the weather. I'm feeling a little bummed that the Bulls no longer have a record that they've held for 20 years, but that is meant to be broken, I suppose. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But do have some interesting things to discuss. As always, we have a bit of news this week, Ben, which we'll tip off the show with, and that is some NBA 2K news, specifically NBA 2K17 related news. And this broke was late last night our time, probably early
morning US,
early mid morning US time, and that is that Kobe Bryant will be appearing on a special Legend Edition cover of NBA 2K17. The game is already available to pre-order, both the Standard Edition and the Legend Edition. The Legend Edition has some Kobe-related content, both feelies, as we used to call them back in the day, actual physical items, I should say, that you can actually get for the pre-order. Those include a limited edition Kobe poster, Black Mamba controller skin, and two Panini Kobe trading cards. And digital items, in-game stuff includes 30,000 VC, which was that was last year's as well, wasn't it? 30,000.
Yep, that's correct.
30,000. A My Team Bundle Plus, which includes three packs with a guaranteed Kobe free agent card, 2K Kobe 11 shoe, a Kobe number 8 Mitchell and Ness jersey for the My Player, I would assume, a Kobe hoodie, that's the same, and it also says and more to come. So there may be some other in-game content that's related to those pre-order items. Certainly caught me off guard to see that news update. As I said to you before we started recording, I was writing my Way Back Wednesday article on Kobe Bryant in his history in basketball video games, so it provided a pretty good thing for me to end on. I don't know if me to end on to actually mention that he was going to be in NBA 2K17 as in the Legend Edition. It's certainly timely. Timely announcement, though, considering he's retiring and Mamba Day and everything else, hashtag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what do you think?
Look, I suppose it was to be expected. Like, you know, he has been a cover boy for the game before. And given that they announced it on Mamba Day, made sense that they do it. And, you know, you get a fair bit with it. And I know a few friends of mine would be definitely keen to get it, so.
Oh, yeah, there'll definitely be people pre-ordering, although do you think some people might hold out because they haven't really announced anything about the game yet, or do you think 2K at this point has had such a quality product in most people's eyes anyway, that people are just going to trust in the brand?
I think it's established itself enough that people would have pre-ordered even if it was announced 2 months earlier, so, yeah, I think, you know, just that people would be that hyped on it, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. The question I want to know how it's got legends covers, like, who other legends will there be and all that stuff, And, you know, would that be...
Like, will there still be a Jordan cover and things like that, like other Legend editions?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've had a Burn and a Magic one before, so would that be a way that they can reintroduce those if, you know, they still...
Like, multiple Legend covers, multiple current covers, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the only Legend Edition cover just to celebrate Kobe, but, you know, Jordan's always a big seller. So I imagine that there could be a Jordan edition. That would be interesting if they do a Jordan edition and a Kobe edition, whether you could choose to get the Jordan items again this year or Kobe items. If they're doing the physical items, maybe they're just going to do the one, though.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be, I guess, you know, well, I'm sure the Jordan one had a huge amount of success. And, you know, given...
Worked for me.
Yeah.
I got it, so...
You know, forked out more money than I would have anticipated for it. So,
yep.
So yeah, I don't know. I reckon there could be, we'll say at least three or four Legends covers that could include like the bonus items. Whether they include the same kind of thing, not sure. Like, obviously,
sure.
What the Jordan one and what this Kobe one have done in that. So,
if there's a Jordan one again this year, I might consider it. I'm not sure whether I'll double dip again this year. Depends on my budget, I suppose. I did actually get had a friend pass along a copy of PC, so that was nice. So I didn't actually have to pay for the PC version last year. Got that one for free, so I can't really complain about budget, I suppose. But again, you know, that was out of kindness, so I can't not going to push that necessarily. And it's to try and play two versions, I don't know, but at the same time, I also like the idea of perhaps trying to give my career a go on the PS4, especially with the face scan, if I can finally get it to work, that is, and then doing my GM, my league on PC, plus also playing online on PS4, since both sort of have better luck getting an online game on PS4 than PC, so... I'll see. I don't know whether I will actually pre-order this myself. Certainly not this early, because they're not going to run out, despite the whole limited stock. It's very rare to lose a pre-order edition this early. But the only thing that really appeals to me, I guess, is the 30,000 VC as a jump start and possibly the My Team bundle. But everything else, you know, I've been on record that I'm not the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, although I did enjoy his finale today, which we'll talk about a little bit as well. But, I mean, I'm a big Michael Jordan fan from back in the day, so that gets my pre-order money to get that content, but not necessarily Kobe. Are you going to pre-order?
Not the Kobe one, no. Like I said, no. You know, for me, you know, if there's, like, the Jordan option and stuff, then yes, I'll definitely do that. But if it's the Kobe, if it's only a Kobe one, then I'll
just pass.
Yeah, just get the normal.
Ironic.
Yeah, I'll just get the standard edition, and I suppose it was about $115, wasn't it, for the Jordan one last year?
Something like that. Yeah, 115, 120 Australian. So which is not 175 for a Fallout 4 with a Pip-Boy, but you know that's a once in an 8 year kind of thing. So
or $200 for the Libertalia edition of Uncharted 4.
So the ridiculous amount of money we spend on this digital hobby of ours sometimes when you think about it. But whatever you know, you enjoy and brings you enjoyment, of course. The other thing that we should note is that 2K released a couple of videos. None of them have any 2K17 footage. Not a surprise this early in the game. I mean, even last year, that took a while before we actually got some decent 2K16 footage as well. But they did put out a couple of nice trailers, the Legend Lives On trailer to announce the cover, and they also did. Did you see that montage they did today, Kobe in all the 2K games?
I saw. Yeah, actually, I did. I saw a glimpse of it. Yes.
So that was pretty cool. But speaking of the Legend Lives On trailer, it featured Kyrie Irving and Paul George. Notably, Paul George was in his Indiana Pacers uniform. Kyrie Irving was at a breakfast table in casual gear eating cereal. So, you know, but this, of course, has led to speculation, so let's jump into that speculation. The speculation is that they might be the cover players, at least one or both of them may be the main active cover player of NBA 2K17, And to me, that actually seems like a pretty plausible theory. I wrote a Friday Five article a little while ago talking about possible cover players in the upcoming games, either this year or in the next few years. Like Karl Anthony Towns, I think, could be a cover player at some point in the near future. But as far as 2K17 goes, if they don't repeat with Curry, which I think they probably could, I think they might keep going with that multiple cover route, especially since people seemed to like it last year because you didn't have to buy multiple copies. You got the flippable cover, which I think is a really good idea. You know, you've already got people buying games for whatever, $60 in the US and up to $120 here for special editions.
Yeah.
So give people a flippable, you know, changeable cover if they want to go between the, you know, choose between the three. But Paul George was the cover player, I should say, not playber. Paul George was the cover player for the My NBA 2K16 app. So he obviously has that working relationship with 2K.
Yeah, and for last year's one, it was James Harden for the app.
Yeah, so that foreshadowed, I guess, his appearance as one of the main cover players for 2K16. So Paul George being a cover player for 2K17, I think that's really plausible.
Yeah, I think so too. And given the strong comeback that he had after that serious injury as well, so... Yeah.
A good choice on top of everything else, yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm definitely... I don't think we can take that as confirmation. Certainly not going to report it as such until we actually get official confirmation. But it is definitely interesting that they featured both of those players, especially as Kyrie Irving has had a relationship with Live, being on the Live 14 cover.
Yeah. Well,
so...
Yeah, you know, it's not the first time. I mean, Durant's... You know, he's the cover of...
Oh, of course.
You know,
Elite, yeah.
Yep.
Might want to move on after that particular debacle. But yeah, I think that's a solid theory. I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of months we do learn that Paul George is at least one of the cover players this year. Still wouldn't surprise me if Curry's on the cover again, especially after the season they've had.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much a lock for the next 2 years.
And, you know, if there is a Jordan cover, I guess, in the Jordan edition, I suppose I'll... continue to get that. And of course people do the crying Jordan cover, won't they, because hasn't that joke, you know, just gotten funnier and funnier each time it's used for absolutely everything later in the show.
Yep.
Later in the show.
Yep.
So that's the 2K17 news this week. Nothing really going on with 2K16 apart from the usual updates. Oh, well, it should be noted that with Kobe playing his last game, the 2K16 pushed through an update for the court that added his 24 and 8 to the court. Although, interestingly, they added both the 24 and the 8 together at both ends of the court, whereas 24 was at the one end and 8 at the other. So I'm guessing that was just a graphical limitation in the game. They maybe only be able to replace one texture, so they put it together. That'd be my speculation on that. Yeah, I was interested to see that, because I didn't realize that they were doing the tribute court for a start.
Yep.
And then to see... I thought, oh, well, that's a cool idea, the 24 next to the 8, but it actually turned out to be 24 at one end and 8 at the other on the actual court of Mamba Day and his season and career finale. But in the game, it's 24 and 8 next to each other at both ends. So, yeah, I'm guessing that's just a limitation in the art files.
Yeah, I think so as well. Because, yeah, it's usually just a copy and paste of the other half, isn't it, the courts?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends where the... I know I've done a little bit of live court editing before, and it sometimes just doubles up. You know, this is... It has the one texture that's placed in a couple of places, so it's probably the same thing.
Yep.
So, but it's cool they pushed that through, so that's... You got to work with that limitation.
Yep.
As it is, so... Yeah. If it's a really big deal, well... Too bad, I guess, is the end of the day. But anyway, they did push that through with the most recent update, so I did grab a screenshot of that and shot it through. But on to some NBA Live 16 news, kind of, anyway. Of course, they've been getting roster updates through. I think they've pretty much got all the players into the game now, which is nice to see. We've talked before about what they need to do with the rosters moving forward, including roster customization from the user end, of course. But... This was interesting, a video that was posted, and I've posted it in the forum as well when it was brought to my attention, but it's from an artist who has worked on some faces for NBA Live. Well, It says NBA Live 15 player heads, but in the description, it says a sample reel of some of the players I worked on for NBA Live 16. And the name on the YouTube account is Charles Woods, so I'm going to go with that as the artist's name. And it is about an 18-minute reel of the player heads that he worked on, including Joakim Noah, Kevin Love, Serge Ibaka, James Harden. I'm just reading them off, and it's not registering. Ginobili, Gasol, Wade, Duncan, Rose,
Parker. And, Tony
Parker. It's misspelled Scottie Pippen, as with Scottie with a Y and Pippen. Maybe not the biggest basketball fan around. Okay. So anyway, so what is it? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So 18 players from that he said NBA Live 15 player heads, but he's also said in the description that he worked on them for NBA Live 16. But anyway, they're high quality renders of these faces that he's worked on, and they look pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of them, you know, looked exactly like, you know, from the media day photos and stuff that they do for sites and all that. Like them, particularly that first one with Jacob Noah, it looked exactly like basically the straight photos that you see from the media day stuff. So it was like, wow, okay, the quality looks phenomenal.
Yeah,
but the interesting thing is how it did really translate into the game that well. Like, I don't know, just something. In terms of the texturing or the compression from going from that size and scale to obviously what you see in game, and obviously a lot of the quality or something is lost in translation, and that it doesn't turn out as well, which is kind of surprised considering how detailed these faces are and all that stuff. So
yeah, and I think you're right. I think that the compression obviously has something to do with it. They've got a lot of assets. Live is about, I think, about 20 gig these days compared to about 60 gig of 2K, so maybe there is a bit more compression going on in Live. I think Live's faces are a bit underrated, especially when you zoom in, but yeah, these were really high quality all around.
Yeah.
Which shows that some what is capable of being made with the 3D modeling. It's in Maya Viewport 2.0. So yeah, it is interesting to see the quality of them and to think that they are being compressed down before they make the game. But it shows what's possible. So I hope that perhaps the faces in Live 17 can be a bit closer to that quality.
Yeah, you know, and you see a little bit of the subsurface sliding stuff that seems to be going on. Like when he rotates the head, you see like the different shine points and stuff like that with the light reflecting you through it. And so I'm really hoping that translates better in Live 17 and beyond. Cause yeah, it's been one of the sort of downsides since Live's return. Like Live 14, the player models look clayish and all that stuff. They got, you know,
faces were definitely less than
we
thought. Okay, that looked pretty good when they first came out, and then 2K14 came out with its faces and we're like, whoa. Okay, that's next gen right there. It's going to take a little while, probably a few games, to really get good.
Yeah,
you know, that's underselling, to really push the limits of this current generation, I should say, more accurately. They already look really good. And as I said, Live's faces are a little bit underrated, because you zoom in on a lot of player faces in 2K in Live 16, I should say, and the ones that look good are really good in Live 16. The big thing with Live, as I've said a couple of times before on the podcast, is that compared to 2K during gameplay, you don't really notice the player models or the quality of the faces either.
Yeah.
They do look too skinny from gameplay angles, but when you zoom in, they look a lot better. So I think that's something that Live needs to reconcile, either with the proportions of players on the court or the zoom. But yeah, they look really good in instant replay, but they're not so great during gameplay. And that's something I think that Live needs to reconcile to really make that good impression during gameplay, because that's when people are seeing players most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the way it translates in like the UFC game, and that, you know, I mean, obviously
Closer cameras.
And the scale isn't obviously as big and with as many assets and stuff like that, but still, you know, you can see the quality, and you see the way that the muscles flex and all that stuff. And I know Live's got a bit of that, so
Yeah, if you zoom again, you zoom in an instant replay, and you can see the muscles flexing and the skin moving over the bone.
Yep.
But which I guess you can't really see that much on TV anyway, so it makes sense. But
the
just needs to be a bit closer, a bit bigger.
Yeah. So
one of the two. I'm not sure. It's hard to put my finger on which is the real solution there.
Yeah, and you know, with previous games in the past, you know, with the arms have looked like permanently flexed and all that stuff. So the fact that they're able to include the element where the muscles and that will relax and tense when depending on the movement of the actual player, and that is getting that step closer to reality and making them the players more lifelike and stuff like that. So yeah, but yeah, in terms of the texturing and the lighting aspect of it, for the skins and stuff, it needs to really translate to what you see in that 18-minute video, what that artist did.
So check that out. I have posted that in the NBA Live 16 section in the NLSC forum. You can take a look at that video, search it on YouTube. As I said, it's actually labeled NBA Live 15 Faces, though it's mentioned labeled as Live 16 under the description. And yeah, we'll certainly see what happens with the faces in Live 17. There are obviously things that need to go into the game that really would enhance it as well, game modes, gameplay, animations, etc. But it's really a first impressions thing, isn't it, with the faces and the player models? Just to, you know, they are the show, really.
Yeah.
These NBA players. So it's that first impression of seeing the players and seeing them move realistically, of course, definitely with the animations, but also, you know, looking at the faces and saying, yeah, that's Stephen Curry, that's Klay Thompson, and that's Kevin Durant, and that's LeBron James, and you know, that is them in the game, kind of thing.
Yep.
So that's about it for the news this week. A couple of interesting things to talk about there. It has come to the point of the show where we talk about our week in basketball gaming. And this week, I again haven't had a lot to report. I've been doing some more retro content. I put out my retrospective of the 20th anniversary for the 20th anniversary of NBA Live. Put out my retrospective of NBA Live 2000, which that's a fun game to revisit because that's one of the high points in the series. It's fun to play that on a modern PC because it can really max it out. So it actually looks quite good. Yeah, did you see some of the screenshots I posted, Ben?
Yeah, I did.
It's better than it was back in the day because I can really max it out because I know more about computers now. So I've built a good gaming rig here, but I haven't posted the screenshots yet. But I also had a quick game with the Lakers. I turned the difficulty down as well because I was played a few games in 2000 on different difficulty, and I turned it down to starter and realized, yeah, that's way too easy. I was definitely playing at least on All-Star, if not Superstar, back in the day, although Superstar is a bit cheap, so it might have been on All-Star, but Starter is definitely too easy. I got a quadruple double with Shaq, and not just any quadruple double. It was like I think 30 plus points, 20 plus rebounds, 20 plus assists, and about 15-16 blocks. few blocks are a bit too numerous back in the day in Live 2000, which helped, especially on Starter difficulty. But no, I had some fun with that, as I always do when I go back and play a classic. And I've sort of been working on a few other things recently, both the retro stuff and other things for the site. So I haven't really had much of an opportunity to play as much as I want. You have played a bit further in my career and even got a 2K TV interview.
Yes, yeah. I got to play a little bit today. Obviously not being as well this week and haven't been able to play as much. With your connections and stuff like that on Twitter and the 10 people you can follow kind of thing. And the second phase, I think, of that is on the day off, you know, select a 2K interview with, or 2K TV interview with Rachel. So that was pretty cool to do.
Yep.
For some reason, when I tried to record the thing, I only got the second half of it. So even though I was pretty much straight into the game and all that stuff, but no, it was pretty cool to see. Early days, I know. I felt the rendering of Rachel didn't quite look like her as much as I thought it would be.
I'm surprised that it was as ordinary as it was. Yeah. I mean, I guess the main concern is getting players into the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they didn't really do her much justice.
No,
with that.
So I was kind of just disappointed in that part. But the game
because you recorded a voice for it.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
mean,
you know,
so it's like, come on, you got Doris in the game, you got the cheerleader scan in the game. No, make sure you scan Rachel properly as well. Come
you
on,
you know, she's one of the staff in you know, and a key importance to, you know, keeping the community involved with the game and that. So you want to put the attention and detail into making her look as accurate as possible and that.
I mean, I also want to see, like, a proper Jiao Ming wandering around in the background as well. That's that's on my wish list for 2K17, of course.
Yeah, I want...
Goes without saying.
I want Jiao Ming the video bomb.
Of course.
You know.
Left first wanders through, you know.
Yeah.
For no reason.
You just hear seriously in the background.
Yeah. Off camera, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was interesting side to see of the interview aspect. I didn't get to haven't got to do that side of the game before, so that was kind of cool.
Is that interactive with different responses or
no? It's actually just pretty much
scripted.
Yeah, at a 2K love session, you know, I grew up playing this game and da da da. Me and my friends, you know, we go hard playing it when we take the game on the road with us and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's...
Which you and I do constantly when we tour for the show.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
We take the show on the road with us, so...
And we didn't grow up playing NBA Jam and NBA Live.
No. So, yeah.
Not at all.
So that was the kind of funny part of it, given that, you know, when I was a kid, I was playing a different game because the other one wasn't out yet.
It didn't exist, yeah.
And, you know, and then when it did start up, it was on a console that I didn't really own, so... Yeah.
Dreamcast, yeah.
Yep, so it was like... Yeah, just the kind of funniness in that side of it. It was just a, you know, just the humor of it. But obviously, you know, it's to appeal for the younger generation and that you know, so that a lot of the younger players of that would have only started really growing up playing with that game. So
for sure, yeah, there is. We've talked about it before. I think there is a bit of a generation gap now within the basketball gaming community, where those of us that grew up with Live or the older old school games. And then the ones that have never really known Live as a brand leader and only know 2K for what it's done in the last decade plus. And just that disconnect of what we want out of the game, I suppose. And maybe that all comes down to everything, soundtrack and bonus features and everything, like Justin Bieber on the celebrity team, you know.
Yeah.
It's and the other thing that I find is stuff like the halftime show and everything. Like, I would have loved that back in the day, playing NBA Live 96, 97, 98, when we were really, those ideas were a little bit too advanced for the time. And I know we had the halftime full motion videos from Live 98 onwards. Nothing like the Shaq Kenny EJ things, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, would have loved that back in the day. Now I just want to skip it because I just want to play.
Yeah.
It's weird that when we're finally getting a lot of the bells and whistles that we've always wanted, I'm kind of like, I just want to straight up play some video game basketball here. realistic, of course, I prefer the Sim style, but you know, I just want to have the gameplay and such. That, yeah, it's, I don't know how to reconcile that with my 14-year-old self that should be really excited about all this stuff.
I know.
But I'm like, oh, I got stuff to do, man. I just...
Yeah, it's such a contrast when you got, you know, when your priorities are changed in terms of, you know, the work life balance and all that stuff. But you know, I agree. Like a lot of the times, I'll get up to most of the points, like when you can go continue when they're doing like the pregame stuff and all that. And you know, a lot of the. I don't really cut the cutscenes. There's not too many after the whole. In fact, there's really, aside from the occasional press interview. There's not
after that first year where it's really cutscene heavy.
Yeah. There's not much from my experience with it so far, and yeah. I mean, I think they probably set it so that way. And I figure they you know, a lot of people sort of after the first season or so would probably get bored of it, so they don't focus too heavily on it for beyond, so.
Yeah, it's and I kind of sometimes I like that bare bones experience. Although I'm definitely not advocating getting rid of all the bells and whistles. Maybe just a toggle option on and off, or allow me to quickly skip it with
Yeah.
the button press. But anything else from the My Career experience you can share with us this week?
In the game that I played, I think it was, yeah, it was just after that interview. Got another triple double,
Nice.
and because I saw that they had like 40% off the court stuff that you can do for the little practice court that you play on before going into My Career games and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, Michael,
Yep,
yep.
I bought a couple of items, and obviously, you know, just to make the court look less plain. So yes, I did a bit of that. It was a 2-deal, which was good, and you know, had like over 40,000 VC, so bought a few new shoes.
Money to burn, virtual money to virtually burn.
Yeah, only if I had that money in real life, had to burn.
Yeah.
That 40,000 actually would be really nice right now. So yeah,
We'd get all the Kobe Legend Editions.
and then just tuck it on
Yeah. Yeah.
in. Probably make triple what we'd pay.
We'll be those jerks, yeah.
Yeah, the
Yep.
resellers. because it's not bad enough on the sneaker market.
No.
but yeah, I mean, I was gonna play a second game. And I started to the first couple of minutes, but I was like, oh, I better have dinner because I was going to get ready for the podcast and that. So, yeah, so I didn't get the chance to really flesh out that play that game out. So, and,
I need to figure out what I want to do because I did start that Dynasty and the My League as well, with both with the Bulls and signing Ben Gordon, and wanted to see how it would go comparing the two. And I guess other gameplay has just got into the way, or other work, or this or that, or stuff for the site. But maybe I'm getting into that a bit too late this year. I don't know. Maybe I should just stick to the card collecting modes for the rest of the year. I want to get into my Dynasty and my league a lot earlier with the 2017 games. That's going to be my thing. Or but maybe in the off season. What I'm actually missing right now is the standalone playoffs mode, because with the playoffs starting this weekend, it'd be great just to have the standalone playoffs mode
Yeah.
to, you know, okay, I'll set it up with the 2016 playoffs or whatever, and then just play my own version of it. Kind of thing. And that was the great thing about the All-Star Weekend in live back in the day too. Like whenever that rocked around, you could enter the mode like, oh, you know, I'm whole hyped for All-Star Weekend. Oh, I'll play a dunk contest, you know, or I'll replay the dunk contest.
Yeah.
So that's the benefit of having these other modes in live and 2K, that at certain points of the season, your highlights, like obviously you can start the season as a season-based mode like My League, My GM, or Dynasty, but to be able to jump straight into the All-Star Weekend or start the playoffs at any time, there's just value in that. I miss having those modes, basically.
Yeah, you know, it's like a mini mode factor and all that stuff, you know, and you don't want to have to go through the whole 82 game process to get to that stage and that, so.
Or sim it so and rely on the sim engine doing what you want it to.
Yeah.
You know, you can just set it up anytime. Okay, these are the seedings from the 2016 playoffs. These are the teams. Here's who I want to control. You know, bam. Now let's play. You can't do that without the standalone mode. So, I'd like to see it back in both games.
Yeah, I reckon as well. You know, they're great. Yeah, like same mini modes to play over the during this time of the season and that. So, here's hoping that they come back.
Fingers crossed, but in the meantime, I'm going to figure out what I want to do for the rest of the season and then the off season until it comes, because I don't think I can be playing the retro games for too long. As much as I like revisiting the retro games, there's only so long you can play them before thinking, yeah, this is a lot better these days, or this has come a long way. You know, I can actually hit a jump shot in modern games because jump shooting is viable. It's not a case of, okay, you want to score? Well, you're going to have to find a way to the basket if you really want points, because
Yeah,
this is a real dice roll on the shooting ratings of the old games compared to the compared to what they've done with the shooting mechanics in Live 16 and 2K16. So, any other final thoughts before we move on to our NBA topics?
I think I need to assess what I like when I'm going to play the modes and how I'm going to play the modes for next year as well, or for this year's titles coming out and that. You know, because just getting too heavily involved in my career and that, and then not really trying other modes sort of really limits, and it's kind of a waste of money if I'm not, you know,
playing all the modes.
Yeah, you know, so I think two or three,
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then with obviously with you know, the My Career stuff, you can't really roster edit the other players on. So, you know, when new content's added and stuff like that, they're still wearing the same thing that they wore, or, say, ratings and stuff from basically when you start. And that so
start, yeah, the default My Career roster that loads, yeah.
Yeah, so it might be sort of like second half of the season when I would have to really consider starting the My Career aspect in that. Hey, you know, and I suppose too, it gets me to play more of the 5-on-5 game as opposed to the 1-on-5 game, because that's basically what My Career is in that sense. You know, you don't get to control all the other players and that on your team, so
just playing My Career like Kobe played his last game.
Yeah, essentially. So
saw that comment pop up on Twitter a few times today, and I thought, yeah, so, yep, that's that was pretty accurate.
Yep.
Speaking of which, you know, moving on to the NBA topics now. Kobe Bryant did play his final NBA game, unless there's going to be a Jordan-like comeback, I suppose, in 2-3 years' time when he's 40. But did play his final game at home in the Staples Center against the Utah Jazz. The Jazz were eliminated from the playoff contention as the Rockets made it in with their victory. So they basically had nothing to play for, I guess.
Damn it.
They were leading for a fair bit of the game, but then Kobe turned it up, and he ended up scoring 60 points. Pretty incredible performance, although, you know, it may sound like hating to point it out, but it should be noted, 60 points on 50 field goal attempts. So, you know, looking ahead to the bold predictions, you actually got that right.
Yeah,
that he
yeah.
had at least 30 field goal attempts. He had that by the third quarter, in fact. But I wasn't too surprised to see it, that they were feeding him the ball and just letting him go nuts. I guess I was surprised that he started hitting some shots towards the end. I would have thought fatigue really would have got in the way, but no, he got the 50 and then just made a bunch of clutch baskets for one last time. And you know what? What a finale. You know, I said it last week that I was kind of looking forward to tuning in and seeing it and appreciating him despite not being a fan of his for many years. And I wouldn't say I'm a fan now. Certainly respect his accomplishments and everything, but I was kind of pulling for him in the game. I kind of enjoyed seeing him get the 60 points, even though it's dwarfed Michael Jordan's last effort. Michael Jordan's last effort with the Wizards, not so much the Bulls in the 98 championship, but just, you know, just to qualify that again. But no, I mean, oldest player to score 60 points, the only player to score 60 points in his farewell game. Hell of an exit. What else can you say?
Yeah, I figured it was, like, when I was making my bold prediction is either they were going to let him have free reign with his shots, or, you know, he'll play a fair bit, but he'll probably sit out a little bit as well. Just seeing how bandaged and iced up he was, you know, for the week or two beforehand. You know, the game where he played against Miami, he was like played like under
8 minutes.
Under 9 minutes, and was like, looked like he just wrestled a damn shark or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, yeah, this is either gonna go one of two ways. So when I took that bold prediction, I was like, play it safe and go 30. I was considering 35, and I was like, oh, that could be a chance of being too high. But
well, you did say one last game with at least 30 field goals, so you played it conservatively, and he did get that, so that qualifies.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were right on that, which we will revisit at the end of the show when we make, I guess, some new bold predictions. well, at the very least, we'll go over this week's bowl predictions. Yeah, it was a pretty fun game to watch, all things considered.
I mean, I wish I really got to sort of watch a lot of today's games, but I was just trying to rest up as much as I can today, so the last couple of days have just been in bed as much as possible and not using my work laptop for that kind of purposes of, you know, streaming games and stuff like that. So yeah.
What's on YouTube today?
Yeah, yeah. So really trying to minimize what I do with that kind of stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I would have liked to watch a lot of last couple of games and this past week, but yeah, just...
Yeah. Well, you know, it's... sure, there'll be replays and there's certainly plenty of highlights out there. But you know, hats off to Kobe. I still rank him behind Jordan, partly with my bias, but also I think there's a pretty good argument for Jordan, frankly. Still, and Bird and Magic and a lot of greats. But of course, we are talking about many of the all-time great players, the upper pantheon of legendary players. Kobe has to be considered, you know, a part of that elite group somewhere. I feel, I mean, the 5 championships, 2 by himself, well, two as a leader, I should say, 2 as the man, 3 with the, you know, being Shaq's more than capable sidekick.
Yep.
So, and the 81 points, everything else. So hats off to Kobe. Again, I totally admit, not one of my favorite players. Lakers are not one of my favorite teams, but got to respect greatness. You got to tip your hat to that. And what a show, basically, to go out on. That's can't be too disappointed with that.
No, that's for
sure. If you're Kobe or a Kobe fan.
Yeah, I know a lot of my friends are crying right now. So
yeah, crying Kobe meme. That going to be a thing. So
hopefully it'll be nice balance for the rest of the year, just to show something a little different.
Yeah. So I didn't shed any tears for that. I didn't shed any tears for the Warriors winning either, but I have to admit I was a little bummed. You know, Bulls fan that I am, to see the record fall. Records are made to be broken, and the Warriors did in fact make history. Broke the record. They had already tied the Bulls 72 wins, I should say, and they beat 72-10 by going 73-9, handling the Warriors, handling the Grizzlies, I should say, fairly easily. Curry had 46 points through 3 quarters, another great finish. Skip Bayless said that he had the best single season ever. I don't know about that. Jordan's had a fair few. Wilt Chamberlain had 50 points per game and 48.5 minutes per game. Those are ridiculous when you actually play more minutes than there is in a regulation game.
Yeah.
I mean, what a 100-point game. I mean, what Wilt did in the 62 season, or Oscar Robertson getting the triple-double, I mean, that's a big claim to say that it is the best. It is definitely one of the best single seasons for both a team and a individual player in history. I think certainly got to give credit where it's due. The only, you know, tip you had to the Warriors, absolutely a great year. I think they're going to... I wouldn't be surprised if they sweep their way to the championship. They might be the first team to go undefeated through the playoffs.
Well, I suspect they'll lose 1 or 2. I don't know if they'll go whole 16 without...
I think conference finals maybe to the Spurs. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I think they're in as good a chance, the way they've been playing, as any other team this season. What does bug me, and, you know, people are wrong on the internet. Get over it, Andrew. I know. I don't like hypocrisy for many reasons in my life away from the NLSC, and also having many discussions with the NLSC and seeing it elsewhere on the internet. I hate the whole thing of that so many Warriors fans, I'm going to say fanboys, I don't think it's the real fans that are mature and have been following the Warriors for years. I think it's a lot of the bandwagoners, because it's a real bandwagoner mentality. But all the dismissing everything, any criticism of the Warriors as hating, and talking about all the haters all this time, and at the same time ripping all the teams of the past and posting crying Jordan memes. You can't complain about haters while you're hating. It's just hypocritical. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. You got to be willing to take what you can get as well. So, you know.
Yeah, don't dish it out if you can't take it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean... I saw in the wake of it, you know, someone had photoshopped the Jordan slumped over Pippen with this Curry, with this, you know, I don't know how you describe it, just
mischievous
this
grin,
mischievous grin, and the crying Jordan over the thing, and I'm like, you know, I tweeted out and said, "Oh, stay classy, Warriors fans." You know, it was, and it is some of my fanboyism, I guess, for the Bulls and the Jordan coming up. But at the same time, it's you're complaining about the haters. I'm a hater of haters. A hater of people talking about haters, I should say. Because I remember back in the day, there wasn't really this whinging about haters. Do you remember that? It was just like, yeah, okay, you hate the Bulls. Guess what? We're winning anyway. But these days, oh no, you can't say that. You have to respect, and you can't make fun or criticize or anything. No, you've got to respect greatness. Well, we can respect it while still having some fun or suggesting that other teams are great too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all in good humor and stuff like that.
Until the humor gets run into the ground, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And then it just becomes annoying. So, yeah, it's got to take it, like I said, you got to take what you give and all that stuff. So, lighten up, people.
It really bugged me when I was...
Sorry, wanted to swear then, but I decided, nope.
Oh, I've been holding back,
yeah.
on tweets and everything else, just to have some dignity. But Charles Barkley was making a great point, and NBA, I was really peeved with NBA on TNT because they labeled the video "Kenny Smith tries to talk sense into Barkley" because Barkley dared to speak unfavorably about the Warriors in a comparison to the Bulls, the '96 Bulls, and it's like, oh, so, and it goes back to that. That article that I ranted about last week. So, oh, it's a bad opinion if you don't agree with the consensus these days.
Yeah.
And Barkley was trying to... Barkley had this really great point that was interrupted by damn Shaq goofing around and Kenny, and they're all laughing at their jokes. It's what I don't like about NBA on TNT. I think they're really... They are entertaining, but there's times when one of them's trying to get serious and the other ones are just joking around. I'm like... This is actually a really good conversation about basketball. You know, what you are paid to talk about.
Yeah,
is what bugs me about NBA and TNT. And Barkley was saying, you know, you can't even bring up a legitimate, fair criticism of the Warriors without, you know, just because you do that doesn't mean you're a hater. And of course, it got lost in Shaq making some horrible joke and Kenny being obnoxious and EJ looking like he wanted to be anywhere else. or maybe I'm just reading that wrong, but. That's the thing. I mean, we're all the old fans who said who didn't want to say the Bulls are the best, and we're still going with this whole the Bulls are in a watered down league because of the expansion teams, whatever. Oh yeah, that super team, super dream team of the '96 Bulls with Judd Bushler in the key rotation. Oh yeah, team of 10 or 15 superstars there. Anyway, it's getting to that point where you can't criticize anything these days without being a hater or you know, I guess we're in the offended. 2016 is the year of being offended by everything. You know, I was down the street a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago when the hot cross buns went on sale too early and in the eyes of one older gentleman, and he started throwing a hissy fit and throwing the hot cross buns on the ground before he was escorted out by security. True story. I guess everything offends everyone these days.
Yep.
But... And I hate ranting about this because it's taking away from what the Warriors have done, which is, well, it doesn't. It's just one person talking about it. But it's me being a little, not giving enough credit because what the Warriors have done is incredible, breaking that record. And I don't want to take that away from them. At the end of the day, you play the competition you have with the rules you have and everything. But I think you can make those, there are legitimate comparisons to make. And you're not a hater if you make them with a reasonable argument. If I say, oh, Stephen Curry is actually a terrible player and these Warriors would get beaten 100-0, you know, by the Bulls, I'm being a stupid hater. If I say that would be a pretty damn competitive game and I'm not sure that I'd bet against Jordan, that's not hating. That's, you know, there's a pretty reasonable argument to be made there, I feel. But Kenny, unfortunately, could not be on the show today. Once again, busy with some uni responsibilities. He also tweeted that picture. And with the comment, keep things in perspective. Currently, MJ has more MVPs, finals MVPs, and as many rings as Kobe and Steph combined. So that is that was I enjoyed that from Kenny, and also his other tweet the other day that congratulations, Warriors fans, you've been waiting for this for at least 2 years, which I think for some bandwagoners is probably right.
Yep.
But you know, they jumped on the Bulls bandwagon back in the day, and the Lakers bandwagon after that,
and then Miami's after that,
and Miami's after that. So, true fans like us, I guess, Ben, we can hold our heads high and say, because that's important, you know. I may not be curing illness or poverty or anything, Ben, but I am loyal to my basketball, my favorite basketball team, and that makes me a grand person, obviously. But okay, so in all seriousness, congratulations to the Warriors. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want if I didn't want them to get the record. It didn't want them to not get the record, I should say. Wanted the Bulls to keep it, but records are made to be broken, and it was. So, but you know, you got to win 16 more now, because otherwise it's the biggest choke job in history if they don't win 16 more.
Yep.
So before we move on to talk about the playoffs itself, Curry actually, we said it was a great individual season, of course, but that doesn't really do it justice, because he set a few records, did he not?
Yes. Well, I mean, last year, he scored, 286 threes in the season.
He broke his own record.
Yep. Yeah. He smashed it. He scored 402 threes this season.
I dispute the fact he's the greatest player of all time. One season will not do that. I still think he's the greatest shooter of all time. There's enough on that part of his resume that he is the greatest shooter of all time. And another 50-40-90 season. The first player to score 30 points per game and have those shooting percentages.
Yeah, which is phenomenal. So I want to say my congratulations to the Warriors for having an outstanding season. Yes, I'm kind of in the same boat. I didn't really want the record to be broken, because, being a Jordan fan and Pippen fan and that back in the day myself, it was kind of a record that I would have seen, stand the test of time. But, I give credit, to both the Warriors and to Curry for the achievements of this year. So, well done to them.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you say? And unless it actually comes out that the games are rigged, they won it fair and square.
Yeah.
They put the record fair and square. I mean, we have to eat crow on that one.
Yeah.
And you know what? I did predict them to win those last four, kind of hoping that I'd jinx them. But it didn't matter, because I wrote the Friday Five before the season started and predicted that 72-10 wouldn't be broken. So the jinx, I couldn't out-jinx my own jinx. So Bulls fans, I apologize for that. That's on me. Not the Warriors play. That's on some guy from Australia making a prediction. Actually, I don't want that heat. No, that wasn't my fault. Someone else jinxed them. Yes.
You just see the pitchforks coming down.
Oh, well, it's a long swim across the Pacific Ocean to get to the east coast of Australia. So
that's true.
So as long as I'm, as long as anyone in the country can't find me, it's all good.
Oh, you shouldn't have sent me your address then.
Yeah, my mistake. But, so the 2016 season is at an end. We have the playoffs looming. We thought we'd make a few predictions, because we do know who is going to face who or whom. I'm never sure these days. It's, if the grammar Nazis want to correct me on that one, I don't care. But so we have the 2016 playoffs to look forward to now. Just thought we'd run down the matchups real quickly. Starting off in the improved Eastern Conference, which meant the Bulls missed the playoffs despite being over 500. Cleveland versus Detroit. That's 1-8. I'm going to say that Detroit takes a game, but Cleveland advances in 5.
I think Detroit could potentially take two games.
Do you think they'd do an upset, complete upset?
Not sure if the team has enough strength to do that. I think it'll go to 6 games.
6 games, and that's it.
Yep.
It's a shame they won't get to the finals, because they were one of the teams that beat the Warriors. So the Warriors only seem to lose to teams that they should beat handily. So
yep.
Atlanta versus Boston. I'm going Boston in seven.
Yeah,
but I think they actually have home court advantage on that one.
I think Boston. I don't know. Just Atlanta seemed to have fizzled out a little bit. I don't know. I could be wrong. I didn't really track them too much this season, but
Well, they've dropped off from the top of the East last year. They
yeah.
are now they're both 48-34.
Yeah,
So.
I think Boston could get it. I think they got a young, exciting team, and given what they were able to achieve this regular season, I'll back them.
Actually, I stand corrected. The Hawks have home court advantage,
Ah, okay.
so I was incorrect about that.
Yeah, I still think.
Still think Boston in seven.
Yeah.
Okay, we come down to your Heat versus Jordan's Hornets, 3 versus 6. I've got Miami in five.
I'm kind of hoping this one could go to at least 6 games. I'd like to see Charlotte get a couple of wins in the playoffs, to blow that sort of stigma that they had where they have made the playoffs before. It was very short-lived.
As the Bobcats, yeah, no wins, winless as the Bobcats.
Yeah, so, if it went to seven, I wouldn't be unhappy because, Charlotte's a team that I do like. But yeah, obviously, I think Miami will win it. I think it's six, but if, like I said, if it goes to seven, I'm happy with that.
Because both teams have finished quite strong.
Yeah.
Miami without Bosch, of course. There was talk that he might return, but that was in March and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and I guess they will still try to assess and do tests and that. So,
Actually, they're both 48-34. There's
yeah,
one, two,
there's four
there's
teams
four
that is that
teams.
same record in the East.
48-34 in the East, yeah.
So no, I think Charlotte have had a great year, and deserve the ranking or deserve a really good playoff spot, and a good chance to try and make it. But yeah, I think the Heat's experience, the Heat did just sign Delon Wright, to help obviously with the missing Bosch situation if he's unable to play. So, he's been a Heat player before, so he knows the system very well. So,
Yeah, started his career with the Heat.
and I'm sorry, I'm sounding really stuffy right now.
That's okay. We're almost at an end, so we appreciate always appreciate you coming on, keeping the AC Green Iron Man streak alive. Of course, and Jordan crying memes all over the place when the Hornets get eliminated, because
Yeah, that's I can see that happening, but I think he will show their will overcome it and make the second round and that from that. But if the Hornets were playing someone else, I'd like to see them get into the second round.
They seem to have a bright future,
Yeah.
the Hornets, which is nice that they ditched that Bobcats name. They got some of the best logos in the league again.
Yeah.
The Hornets have always had cool logos, I feel. So bright future, but yeah, I also see them dipping out in 5, 6 at the most. Toronto, who having their best season ever, they topped 50 wins for the first time, 56-26, ended the season on a 4-game winning streak. They are the second seed. They are facing the Indiana Pacers, who have that comeback, bounce back season with Paul George having a bounce back season himself. In fact, the Raptors are only a game behind Cleveland for the top seed in the East.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal effort.
I'm going to say Raptors in six because I think the Pacers can put up a pretty good fight.
I think this will be a tough series. I think this one will go the full seven.
Seven, yep. Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all.
I think Toronto could potentially just scrape away. But yeah, I think Indiana will really make it work for it.
So far we have all the same picks for the opening round. Just some slight differences in the number of games, although again fairly close in that regard. Moving on to the West, we've got the top-seeded Golden State Warriors, 73-9, of course, versus the just scraped into the playoffs Houston Rockets at 41-41. if this were last season, people would be complaining that the 42 and 40 Bulls are not in the playoffs because of the seedings.
Yeah.
But, you know, I suppose that's just the way it crumbles this year, as I think it should be. I'm, you know, if the Bulls wanted to make the playoffs, they should have played better, frankly. That's... Now they can get Ben Simmons by winning the lottery with the smallest odds possible.
Yep.
So Golden State versus Houston, sweep, and not the Rockets doing it.
I really hope this one's a sweep as well. I really dislike Houston.
I don't see it going any other way, to be honest.
Houston, if they get lucky, they'll win one game.
Well, again, I think there's a really good chance that the Warriors could be the first team to sweep their way through the playoffs. Spurs being the only real team that's likely to put a dent in that. Houston, I do not see. Houston have a problem. I know it's cliche, but come on, you can't help yourself.
No, it's just an easy target there.
Sweep, I have to say. Fourth versus fifth, the LA Clippers versus the Portland Trailblazers. The Blazers who... rebuilt and rebounded much faster than anyone thought. So what do they finish at? 44 and 38, pretty respectable.
Yeah, they, considering, like we said earlier in podcasts and stuff like that, considering that it had Aldridge and Wesley Matthews and Batum leave and that, they did phenomenally well. Like, to be better than Dallas and that...
And Houston, who were in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, so credit to them for the season.
Absolutely, and you've got to be happy if you're a Blazers fan moving forward with that young core and Lillard and McCollum in the backcourt. I don't think it's going to be enough, though, to go against the Clippers. The Clippers are very hard to predict, but I will actually say they win in five. That may not be giving the Blazers enough credit, but Blake Griffin's back. The Clippers did win 53 games. Fourth seed, they got the home court advantage. I'm going with the Clippers. I'll say five, but I think either way the Clippers are going on.
Yeah, I think Clippers will probably get the advantage. We'll get to win the series. I think at least six. I think it will go to at least six games.
Six? Yeah, I can see it. I may not be giving Portland enough credit on this front, but. And the Clippers are mercurial, unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean,
prone to collapse. They blew the 3-1 lead to the Rockets last year.
Yeah, so
not unfeasible.
No,
you keep using that word. 3 versus 6 is the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Dallas Mavericks, who were able to move up in the standings a little bit. They had 42-40, same record as the Bulls, and. That one again, I think I can see Dallas getting a game at home. So, I'm going with a lot of 5-game series in my first rounds, but that's just how I feel this year. I don't see the Thunder blowing it, though. I think they will, they'll move on, and I will say in five.
I'm kind of tempted to lean to five, but I think Oklahoma have had their moments where they have slipped as well, like lost some big leads, so. And I think, you know, a lot of experience that Dallas have had. So I think that could be potentially a 6-game. I am, like you said, sort of leaning towards 5, but I think just given the history that Thunder have had this year, I think it could go to 6 as well.
How many triple-doubles do you think Russell will get in the series?
I think he potentially could get 2.
2? Yeah.
Yeah. And
Definitely been on a tear with it this year.
Yeah.
Which has just flown completely under the radar.
Yep.
Curry and the Warriors. And the Spurs, moving on to second versus seventh, Spurs versus Memphis, the Grizzlies. The Spurs are 67-15. In any other year, they're the ones they're talking about chasing the 70 wins and the best record in the league.
Yep.
So that's pretty ridiculous right there. So they let me down by... losing to the Warriors at home. At 40-1, though, they'd have tied the Boston Celtics, the 86 Boston Celtics. So a 30-year record. They've tied for best home record at 40-1. Yeah. With that in mind, I in the forum, I said I picked the Spurs in five. I'm kind of leaning towards them sweeping this one, actually. Now that I've made that pick in the forum, I may have to go different here and say a sweep. I don't see it going past five. Memphis may get one at home at the Grindhouse, but Spurs moving on either way.
Yeah, I definitely see Spurs going ahead. I'll go 5-1. Sorry, in five games. Sorry,
5 games, 4-1, 4-1.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry, I was just. I don't know where my head was at with that. Yeah,
it's late. You're feeling ill.
Yep.
It's been a long day and a long show. So we've got the Cavs. We've got all the top seeds moving on basically this year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe.
Boston, except for Boston.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, yes.
Boston in seven. So all the top seeds except for fifth seeded Boston in the East we have moving on. I feel pretty good about most of those picks, especially the Warriors. They're pretty safe.
Yeah.
Safe bet right now. Cavs over Detroit, you know. Spurs over Grizzlies. Yeah, those ones I feel particularly fairly confident in right now. But absence of Bulls, that aside, that's still a pretty interesting-looking playoffs, and it's great to see the East, as we've said all season, looking stronger. And actually, again, they can put up a first round that's interesting, at least as interesting as the West.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that their bottom eighth actually had more wins than the West bottom eighth, which is...
They did, yeah. Yeah, Houston just sneaking in at 41 and 41. And two teams, yeah, 42 and 40, which is a record that would have missed the playoffs in the East. So there you go. So let's all debate the reseeding and getting rid of the conferences again. Such a lovely debate. But so the playoffs tip off this weekend. So that will be something that I'll be watching on League Pass, I am sure. I don't know which one I'll start with, especially since the Bulls are out, so I've got no... maybe I'll just flick back and forth between games. Actually, I will... The schedule? Oh, yeah, I think I'll just flick flick back and forth. I have no particular interest in any team winning, I guess. Maybe the Spurs. Maybe the Spurs. They're probably the team I like the most out of all the teams that are in the playoffs.
That's fair.
You'll probably favour the Heat, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so. just a little bit, yes. I still got a horse in the race at the moment.
Yeah. So, maybe I'll just envy that.
You can always join the dark side and support the Heat. Not that we'll probably go too far, but, you know.
Well, you know, they do have the Jordan jersey retired. So.
Yeah. We're probably lucky to get past the second round. We'd be lucky if we got past the second round. Just obviously what's happened with Bosch and that, you know, is a huge factor.
Well, more exciting than waiting on ping pong balls that are not really going to bounce your way.
So yeah, true.
That's all I can say. So we're coming to the end of this week's show now, but before we sign off, we need to do our favorite segment, or certainly a segment that we've come to really enjoy doing, and that of course is our bold predictions. And once again, Ben, we got them right. Yes. Last week, of course, I was right in my prediction that the Warriors would win their last four straight games to win 73. I wouldn't have objected to being wrong, but you know, either way, I either got the point or the Bulls kept the record.
So it was win-win.
Decided. So, you know, either way, I was going to get something out of this. That's the important thing. What can I get out of this?
It's like,
well, I'm a millennial, right? So I'm part of the me generation, the horrible millennials, you know. Another topic for another time and another podcast. Probably not one about basketball video games. So yes, I got it right. I'm 3 of 18 now. I'm not going to brag about that. That's not an impressive record. That's not 73 and 9 at all. That's 3 and 15. You are doing a little bit better, 9 and 9 of 9 of 18, whichever way you want to look at it. You said that Kobe would have at least one last game with at least 30 field goal attempts, which he did. He left it to the very end, but he certainly did. 50 of them, in fact, for 60 points. So we were both right. And you are back at 500. And
still the same record as freaking Houston then, isn't it?
As Houston, it
damn
is.
Damn it,
yeah.
I was hoping to be better than them this season.
Well, you've got a chance, and they might get swept.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see if I can get my favorite number of 4 next week, as I make a bold prediction this week. And since I'm doing pretty well with the Warriors picks in the last week, I'm going to stay on that train. And I'm going to say that Curry opens the playoffs with at least 50 points, so that he's going to have that game one outburst of at least 50 points coming off that 46 against the Grizzlies to end the season, facing the Rockets. You know, I'm sure Harden will do a fantastic job
on defense, as he always
does. That's James Harden, not John Harden. I didn't even register until you said that. They're like, oh yeah, James Harden. What? Okay, that's right. I'm just reading off down the YouTube video description. So yeah, Curry opens the playoffs with at least 50 points. Kind of hoping he doesn't get 64. And okay, you want to talk about a week in league in 96? I will say that 63 points against the 86 Celtics is hard to beat.
Yeah,
as far as impressiveness, yeah. without 3 points.
Yeah.
Well, 3-point line, but Jordan wasn't hitting a lot of 3-pointers at that time in his career. Not his forte. So that's my pick. Curry continues the hot shooting. Chef Curry lights the Rockets up and the spectacular defense of James Harden for 50 points, at least.
All right. I think that's a good bet. My one is that one of the home teams will essentially will lose in the opening, so essentially losing home court advantage. So.
Okay, yep, lose their opener and thus home court advantage. Yep. No, that's solid. That's a pretty solid pick as well. And this obviously not an account's official pick, but with you having thrown that out there, I reckon it will be the Hawks.
Yeah, I can see it being them.
Especially since we both picked the Celtics to win in 7.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So at some point, the Celtics are going to have to win in Atlanta.
Yep.
Yeah. To get that done, at least one of the game, one win's going to come in Atlanta. Could be the opening one. Could be the opening one. I think that's a pretty good pick. So those are our bold predictions. We will see if they were too bold next week, and we'll continue our bold predictions through the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see what we come up with to do in the off season. We might have to come up with a new segment in the off season, but I suppose we can just predict things about the games, can't we? The
that's true.
Live in 2K. We're just missing every week. I predict news will come out this week. I predict news will come out this week. This week we're getting gameplay footage. We're just like gnawed of whatever. You know, it's just.
This is when the first patch will come out.
76ers losing streak.
Yeah.
But that has brought us to the end of our post-season pre-playoffs show. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we invite you to subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher. If you'd like to get the show delivered to your device every week, of course, we are quite happy for you to keep logging onto the NLSC and downloading it or streaming it right here on the site, as long as you're tuning in every week and enjoying it. That's the main thing. And of course, if you've got any topic suggestions, mailbag questions you'd like to submit to us for future shows, please hit us up in the forum and comment section or in our social media. Speaking of which, if you want to connect with us on social media, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc, also on Twitter, @thenlsc, and as always, we invite you to keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything that we do with the original content, the modding community, and of course, future episodes of the podcast. But until next week, that's all from us, so I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And remember, while you debate whether Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, or now Stephen Curry has surpassed Michael Jordan, no player in NBA history will ever come close to Frank Bukowski. The Brick. See you next week.
See you next week.